Good evening, everybody. These days, I have been offering an 8-week series on the great Christian mystic, John of the Cross. Now, John wrote many poems, but there are three of them that became particularly popular. The Spiritual Canticle, The Dark Night, and The Living Flame of Love. In these poems, John talks about the relationship between God and a contemplative's soul in terms of a spiritual marriage. God is the bridegroom, and the soul is the bride, and their union is referred to in terms of a spiritual marriage. He talks about the bridegroom and the soul being in love like two lovers. Now, not everybody is comfortable with John's analogy. However, John is not too far off when he describes the union of God and the human soul in terms of a marriage. After all, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God in today's gospel reading, he uses the analogy of a wedding feast. A wedding is associated with love, commitment, intimacy, joy, fulfillment, and life. If this is what we expect when we see God face to face, when we enter heaven, if love and fulfillment and joy and intimacy and union with God is what we experience, then the wedding feast and the spiritual marriage seem to be perfect analogies. In today's first reading, the prophet Isaiah uses the analogy of rich, juicy food and choice wines to capture abundant life with God. And those of us who love food probably get it. These things represent a banquet, wedding or otherwise. Isaiah uses other imageries as well. For example, that of a veil that veils all people. A web woven over all nations that will be removed. These are imageries we can get, isn't it? A veil, a web, especially as Halloween comes closer, we know what a web looks like. That of death being destroyed forever. Those of us who have buried people, you know what that looks like. And of God wiping tears from every face. What a beautiful imagery that is. Any analogy will fall short of trying to describe what life with God is like. However, juicy, good food, choice wines, life without tears, a wedding feast, a spiritual marriage. These imageries and analogies help us to describe that which is indescribable. So I want to use particularly the analogy of the wedding feast, because that's the analogy that Jesus uses. And I want to offer us three practical implications for today. First, the invitation. God invites all peoples. Isaiah, in today's first reading, on this mountain the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples. Now, whether the choice whether to accept this invitation or decline is left to the invitees. And it is amply made clear in the wedding feast. However, the point is that all peoples are invited to share God's life. Now, in recent times, folks, we have become very conscious that we are all one people. The pandemic, for example, has challenged our attempt to overlook our common humanity. There's one thing we've realized these days, that we cannot heal alone. Not just as individuals or families, not even as a nation, but unless the whole globe is healed, nobody is healed, because we are in it together. The coronavirus did not discriminate between us and them, black and white, rich and poor, religious and irreligious, Christian or non-Christian, citizen and immigrant, rulers and ruled. It did not discriminate. And this is the reason that in the most recent encyclical, Pope Francis has challenged the attempt of some people to emphasize differences rather than humanity's common bond. So in this latest encyclical that he wrote, Fratelli Tutti, this is what he says. By ourselves, we risk seeing mirages, things that are not there. Dreams, on the other hand, are built together. Let us dream then as a single human family, as fellow travelers, sharing the same flesh, as children of the same earth, which is our common home, each of us bringing the richness of his or her beliefs and convictions, each of us with his or her voice, brothers and sisters all. And today, once again, Scripture reminds us of our common humanity. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples. Brothers and sisters, all. It is imperative for us that we abandon exclusivity and division, but rather recognize God's call for unity, for recognizing all people as God's people, and accepting all as brothers and sisters. Secondly, the preparation for the wedding feast. The invitation was my first point. Secondly, the preparation for the feast. I want to draw our attention to yet another analogy in today's first reading from Isaiah. He says, on this mountain, God will destroy the veil that veils all peoples. Now, one of the analogies that John of the Cross uses is the analogy of the veil. He talks about how the soul has reached the deepest point of union possible between the soul and God while on earth, and then the soul is so enamored by God that it wants to die for the soul to be able to enter into beatific vision. But he uses the analogy of the veil. Similarly, the invitation to the wedding feast is also an invitation to enter unhindered into God's love-filled life. Listen, if you're talking about heaven, when we get to heaven, we don't want just a little bit of God like we have today. We want it all. We want there to be no obstacles between God, no hindrances, no veils, nothing should be hidden. We want to see God face to face as God sees us. However, in these analogies, there is also the invitation to live our life on earth as a preparation for the veil to be removed. To be prepared for the wedding feast so that we can enter. Perhaps this is the meaning of Paul's words in today's second reading. I know how to live in humble circumstances. I know how to live with abundance. In every circumstance and in all things, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and of being in need. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. This is Paul saying, darn it, I'm ready. Totally prepared for this life with God. For John of the Cross, it is the dark night when the soul is prepared for the veil to be removed. The purification of the soul, the dark night. The purification in this life, the dark night. It prepares the soul to enter into the deepest union possible with God. So Paul and John of the Cross and Jesus invite us to live life carefully, folks. Live life carefully, gently, lovingly, faithfully, openly, and in all circumstances, whether it's hunger or abundance, in all circumstances, we live carefully. Indeed, our life on earth is a preparation for the veil to be removed completely. And for us to participate intimately in the wedding feast. Now, we can go about ignoring God's invitation and living our busy lives. We can do that. The danger, though, is that our present choice can become our eternal choice. So the first point was the invitation. Second point was the preparation for the invitation. The third point is the feast. As with all parables, the parable of the wedding feast too contains a surprise element. What is a surprise? There is a single guest who accepts the invitation, comes to the wedding feast, but is thrown out because he does not have the wedding garment on. And it seems unfair, isn't it? That someone to whom the invitation came at the very last hour was expected to come in a wedding garment? The surprise, or we may call it the shock element, contains two lessons for us. First, it further emphasizes the importance of living carefully as a preparation for our eternal wedding feast. Folks, we do not want to be found unprepared if the invitation comes unexpectedly. However, the more important lesson is that, as I said in the beginning, a wedding is associated with love and celebration and joy and happiness in life. Tell me, when you go to a wedding feast, you don't go with hate in your heart. When you go to a wedding feast, you don't go with selfish motives. If the wedding feast represents life with God, then we can think of the person who was thrown out or without the wedding garment as the person whose values are irredeemably inconsistent with the kingdom of God. For example, there is no place for hatred in God's wedding banquet. There is no place for destructive greed in God's life. There is no place for divisive tactics, egoism, selfishness, pride, arrogance, bullying, name-calling, belittling, or hurting others at God's banquet. There is no place for this. As Pope Francis says, and I love these words, by the way, as Pope Francis says in the latest encyclical, all of us as believers need to recognize that love takes the first place. Love must never be put at risk. And the greatest danger lies in failing to love. In fact, the title of my homily is exactly that. The greatest danger lies in failing to love. If we fail to love, we might find ourselves excluded from the banquet. For Christ-like love is the wedding garment. In many ways, this Eucharist is the foretaste of the wedding feast. The Eucharist is the foretaste of our life with God. On that day, God will destroy the veil that veils all people. On that day, we will cry out, "Behold our God, to whom we look to save us." On the last day, folks, we might be only as prepared as we are today. Do we have our wedding garments on? People of God said,